Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
All right. Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this live broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the emotionalpro.com or the blogtalkradio.com/FPL page, or you can also speak directly with our guest on our toll-free number, which is 800-630-7858, and that number is listed on the chat. We've all heard it, haven't we? The news that our ego is a bad thing to have, should be kept in check, and will run us amok if we're not careful. It's like a petticoat from the 1950s. We all have one, but we definitely don't want it to show. I remember when I was first getting to know my husband, Bob, whom you know is a neurosurgeon, and I wanted to know more about him, so I said, "You must have an ego. After all, you're a surgeon." And he replied, "Of course I have an ego, and if I'm operating on your brain, you'll want me to have one. How would it be if I got your head opened up and then faltered, asking things like, 'Do you think this is the right thing for me to be doing? I don't know if I should cut here or here. I don't think you'd like me not to have an ego.' Well, what about it? Is the ego an asset or a burden? Do we have to keep it on a leash? What's the purpose of the ego anyway, especially if you're not a brain surgeon? How do we work with it? Can we live without it? Can it be gotten rid of?" Today we're looking at these questions and more as we talk with Tara Taylor on the topic of love your ego, love your life. Tara Taylor is an internationally sought-out intuitive counselor, life coach, motivational speaker, and co-founder of Just Say Yes Seminars. She's a contributing author of the Amazon.com bestseller Manifest Success, Creating the Life of Your Dreams, and author of the up-and-coming book Me, My Higher Self, and I, Embrace and Balance Your Three Selves to Find Your Purpose. In addition, Tara is president owner of White Light Wellness Center, which is at whitelightwellness.com, and she's co-owner of Sacred Spaces, Inc., which is at asacredspace.ca on the internet. A world religions, theology, and pastoral counseling graduate of St. Paul's University in Canada, Tara helps many people through her workshops and seminars and speaks regularly on the difference between the higher self and the ego. Tara Taylor, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I have a bunch of basic questions. Basic question number one, what is the ego?
The ego is the other self. So if we want to think about it, we're two people in one. Before we make a decision, we're always kind of going that back and forth. It's kind of, you know, we always look at it as either the angel and the demon, and we look at old films, and they always kind of depict it in that way, right? Or it's always the little horns and the little angel on one shoulder and one on the other. But the ego is what allows us to have free will. It gives us choice. Without choice, we wouldn't have free will.
All righty, good. Thank you. Basic question number two. So you say it gives us free will, but why do we have an ego? Is it intended only to give us free will?
That is correct. It is only intended to give us choice and free will, because we wouldn't question anything if we didn't have an ego. Our higher self is always coming from a place of unconditional love. It never sees issues. It's always satisfied with whatever comes its way.
Okay. All right, that's
I know
clear.
It leads into other questions, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to stay with my basic questions here. Basic question number three, why do most of us have difficulty with our egos?
We have difficulty with our egos because we have given it too much power. The ego was never intended to be an actually a bad thing. We kind of go back to the concept of free will. Without having an ego, we wouldn't have choice. So it was more to give us kind of, how would we know what unconditional love is if we didn't know what hate was? And the whole purpose was to come here to understand what it truly felt like to be human. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes.
Before, it's kind of like that, but over time, because we had the concept of free will, this ego, we've grown it and grown it and grown it to a way of it's becoming, when people say the green-eyed monster or, you know, the demon within. I mean, there's so many terms to call it. But really, it's just become overweighted, and we've been giving it such a bad rap and blaming it for things. In reality, it's just meant to keep kind of the pendulum balanced.
So that's why you talk in terms of helping your ego to lose weight or go on a diet, because it's become larger than it was intended to be. Yes,
that's right. And because we have free will, we have the ability to make it bigger.
And if we're now, let me just ask this now. This explanation that you're giving is all tied up with a more spiritual approach or understanding for life. So that another way of looking at this would be that if you don't remember that which is larger than you, which some people might call God, in your everyday life, then you're going to grow your ego bigger. Is that
correct?
Accurate?
That is accurate. And it's also looking at the way of spirituality in that concept. And yes, with God, Buddha, universe, or whatever that name may be for whoever is choosing their faith or their spirituality at that point. It's also looking at Freud's way of the ego and the id as well, and talking about kind of how those dynamics break up, and that we are more than one, let's say, personality in one, but not a personality disorder, and that's kind of what he was talking about, the ego and the id. But it's almost like I took it further on more of a spiritual level and explained it in ways that we could understand it so that we could move forward and be balanced without trying to, as the old saying goes, damned if we do, damned if we don't. Because our ego is always making us feel less than or more than, so we're always kind of chasing our tails no matter what decision we make.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, the ego, the function of the ego is to help us in our earthly life to differentiate and to make choices. And what has happened over time is that we've lost perspective, if you will.
That's correct. Yep.
And so it has become larger, and our higher self, or our connection with our higher self, has diminished. And this is what causes us problems.
That's correct.
Oh, good. Woo! All right.
Woo, I know.
What?
Took me 10 years to figure that out.
Well, look at me. I got it right away.
Yeah, right away. Yes, perfect.
Well, that's only after reading and investigating all your materials, too. What are some common, especially incorrect beliefs that people hold about the ego?
The ego is bad. That's probably one of the largest ones. The ego is there to only cause traumatic experiences. Of course, my argument with that is that it's only there to cause traumatic experiences if we allow it to. So it's that concept of knowing that we are in control of our thoughts and our actions. Our ego stops us from being enlightened. When we rid ourselves of ego, that's when we'll be enlightened. So, like, it's all this stuff of trying to detach ourselves from something that is very much us. Mm-hmm. And that's where the misconceptions come about the ego, is that if we keep trying to rid ourselves, we're going to keep trying and trying to the day we cross over, because our ego is with us from the minute we're born until the minute we pass. That's its purpose. Its purpose is to show us the opposite of who we are, to remember who we truly are and what we're here to do.
The opposite of who we are in the larger sense.
In the bigger sense, that's right.
Yeah.
Without our
yeah.
ego, we wouldn't learn anything. We wouldn't... See, I always say everything is a perfect mistake once. But... And then after that, then we're allowing our ego to become overweighted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we're kind of going down that path of understanding, our ego allows us to truly embrace our human existence so that we may feel what it's like to experience life on, let's say, this earthly plane. Because
right.
we don't have an ego when we're on the other side, because we're already at that state. That's what we always say. Everybody comes in pure, in that sense of everybody comes in with love. They don't come in with hate. We're taught hate.
Uh-huh.
We're taught all those opposite things. And then that's how we learn and we grow and go through soul's progression so that we may understand what it means to be human, and then it's kind of the cycle keeps going.
Okay, so I can hear somebody asking this question. How would it be allowed that bad things would happen to us then? If we all come in pure, why do we have these bad, painful experiences?
Because we're built in a society of fixed beliefs. It's like the early bird gets the worm, right? Is that a true statement?
Well, in this culture it is, yes.
Yes, but it's because we've made it that way, right? That's our free will, is that when we have bad experiences, it's because over centuries and centuries and centuries, we've chosen how to do something. It's like we can say, you know, I'll use the early bird gets the worm, right? Well, I see lots of worms out there eating in the early morning.
Uh-huh.
So it's always kind of how we perceive and how we want to change and manipulate things for the single or the I or the self, rather than looking at it as a collective on a whole. We became almost, again, that overweight, we almost in the sense of being glutton. We wanted to take everything in, but then realizing we're still not satisfied, and we're constantly chasing our tail with that. And that knowing that once we become balanced with our ego, that we are always coming to a place of being of service to ourselves and others, and that's where we find complete happiness is within that. That there's no material object. It can be happiness for a certain amount of time, but eventually we're then looking for the next thing.
Right, because it's based on desire and not true
happiness.
And
that's where ego is attached. The ego is only attached to earthly desires.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's good to know. Well, the way you talk about ego is how my field is emotions, and that's what I have observed that people want to do with emotions, too. They want to get rid of them, and I have spent a career telling people you can't possibly get rid of your emotions. They're part of you. They're going to be with you. The best you can do is learn to work with them and to appreciate that they're here to serve you.
And I completely agree with that. And that's why one of the reasons I was so excited to be on your show, because I did know that about you, and also looking up and studying some of your stuff as well, is that, and that's where the emotions lie, is that when we try to run away from the emotions, which is attached to the ego, the emotions and the experiences just become more painful and more loud. So it's when we actually, I look at the ego as a child having a tantrum. It's like the child is having a tantrum, and the worst thing to do is give it a sucker, because then it's just going to continue, right?
Well,
going to continue that behavior.
But isn't it better just to get it to be quiet?
Well, here's the catch, right? So
yeah.
So to get it to be quiet, we have to give it attention, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, the key is what sort of attention to give it. So if we just say, stop yelling, stop acting like that, the child's like, it's just going to fuel it. It's looking to get that emotion. The reason why it's having the tantrum is because it's feeling like it's not being heard. Right? Same with ego. So that's why ego gets louder and louder and louder, because we're ignoring it and pretending it isn't there. All that I say is always, life is simple, you know, the ego makes it hard is kind of my statement, is that when we look at the ego and it's saying something that we may not like and we just want to go, no, I don't want to think like that, instead of doing that, we look at the ego as, like I said, like as almost this child and saying, I love you, because it is a part of you no matter what, but I do not like your behavior. So it stops in its tracks right in that moment, and then have the moment of saying, I'm going to listen to what you have to say, but I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to choose what you're saying. Once you've actually listened to that, let's say, tantrum that's going on its side and pondered it, that's all it wants, and then it just hushes right up.
Uh-huh.
Its only purpose is just to give you the opposite. It doesn't care if you agree with it. It doesn't care if you choose it or not. It just needs to do its role. That's all.
Uh-huh.
Its role is only to give you opposite. And have it. It's like when you have an emotion, right? Once you have that good cry, you feel so much better.
Well,
it just needs to do its job.
Also in Canada is Eckhart Tolle.
And that's right. He's from Vancouver.
Yep. I'm sure you've read his book. He talks about the pain body. And it almost sounds like you're talking about the ego as either being the pain body or being like the pain body. Are you comfortable talking about that? I'd like to know your take on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it, in ways, yes. I would say it's similar. But I think with sometimes where people get confused is like when they're reading a lot of stuff, they think that they need to rid themselves of ego. And I think that's where a lot of confusion comes from that. And basically what it's all trying to boil down to is that it is like the pain body, but it's much more than the pain body. There's different levels of it. There's different levels of the ego. It's not just one, because it's got the emotional side, it's got the physical side. It's a whole other sort of, let's say, think of it as like a peeling of the onion. There's different layers to it, to the ego. And everybody will have different layers depending on what they've come here to do and what sort of fixed beliefs they've put upon themselves or others have put upon themselves or on that person. So we have to kind of peel those away so that they can understand their truth. It's like when I say to people, what you fear the most will be your greatest accomplishment. That's part of your ego letting you know that when you get really fearful about something, it means that it's in a way giving you guidance, saying it means I need to pay attention to this because this is something that's going to put me further ahead in life.
Right. Yeah, I discovered that many years ago. I finally realized that if I was afraid of something, it would serve me a lot better to step right into the fear and deal with it immediately, because otherwise it seemed to get way out of control and swing around and hit me over the back of the head when I least expected it.
That's right. And that's why I say the damned if you do, damned if you don't. And when the ego kind of comes into play, either physically or emotionally, it either makes you feel like, no matter what, if you made a decision, it's going to say, oh, you did the wrong thing, or it's like, oh, you're better than. So it always makes you feel less than or better than. It never makes you feel equal with anyone. But in reality, that's what it's all about. We're all here to be, you know, leveled and be of service, that we all have gifts and we're all the same. Like I say to people, we're all different and all the same at the same, or we're all different and the same at the same time. What I mean by that is that we're all here on a spiritual journey. The only difference is our progressions are different. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Now, on our chat, we have, I see ego as being concerned with getting our needs met in the world of the material and physical. You want to comment on that?
Yes, and the reason for that is, again, something that has been projected upon us. That isn't a truth. That's a fixed belief. There's many truths in life. So we can either choose to believe that or choose not to believe that. But if we're caught up in that belief system, then, again, there's that concept of the rat race. But then we realize as we keep racing and racing, we're still unhappy. And I think this is where we feel very lost in our world right now, because of what's being projected to tell us what we want, rather than listening to what's going on inside.
Well, so then if the ego isn't involved in getting our needs met, what's a preferable way of getting our needs met, a preferable mechanism?
Well, what I would say is, first we have to look at what's causing, the difference of the ego and the higher self. Like I would say, even the signs of a overweight ego. First, we have to look at how far we're in our ego state, first and foremost, because that's going to really dictate how we get our needs met. So, first would be, signs of an overweight ego is that we resist change, we lose sight of what our purpose is, we tend to have suffering experiences. We only see problems, not solutions. We are reactive and feel disempowered a lot, so we tend to be very judgmental of others and wish for other things that other people have rather than trying to do something for ourselves or saying, if they can do that, I can do that. We feel alone and unsupported, so, we also get very scared and we feel under threat, and at any point we feel like we need to lash out or almost go into like a survival mode state, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we have the signs of a balanced ego, or when we finally are listening to what our ego is saying, but not going with what it wants us to do, we're just kind of giving it grace and knowing that it's only giving us an opposite, we'll see the change of knowing that opportunity and growth is a good thing. You know, we find our own unique purpose. Our suffering kind of reduces in ways. Of course, we have a vision. We see solutions instead of problems. We feel empowered and to make positive changes. We feel supported in the sense that we don't. Inside, we have the strength. We are happy that people are supporting us, but at the same time, we also feel confident that we can move forward. We feel that we're part of something that's much larger and loving and supportive. It's almost like we say we find that that universal center, or people would say that's where I find God, is in that moment. We also, feel that sense of being safe, that no matter what, whatever comes our way, we feel confident that we can cope with it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. When we come back, we need to take a break now, and when we come back, some of the things you say there are related to what I talk about with emotions. For example, to me, emotions are giving us signals of what we need to pay attention to And the emotion of jealousy, for example, draws our attention to the fact that other people have things that we believe we cannot have. And the ultimate solution, of course, is to get very creative and create the thing that we want instead of standing in jealousy. And there's a way that these interplay, and I'm not quite sure what it is. So let me, will you talk to me about that when we come back?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're talking with intuitive counselor, author, life coach, and motivational speaker, Tara Taylor, who is co-author of Manifest Success, the Ultimate Guide to Creating the Life of Your Dreams. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we will be right back.
Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements here. First of all, call us now toll-free at 800-630-7858 to talk with our guest, Tara Taylor. You can also pose questions on either of our chats at emotionalpro.com or blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And if you have missed us live, and recently I've been hearing from a lot of you who listen on the archives, do download our archived podcasts from the radio show page on emotionalpro.com. You can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes or listen to the podcast over Blog Talk Radio. And please continue to tell your friends and family about all the wonderful things they can discover through Full Power Living and accept our thanks for helping us with our mission of awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. Remember that emotions are part of everything. I want to encourage you to check out my other internet radio programs that I create and host with life coach Dakey Fox on the Women's Information Network. That's the WIN Online, thewinonline.com. They are Building Conscious Families and Emotionally Speaking. And on March 23rd, I'll be appearing on the awakenedrelationships.com site, offering a session on using all your emotions to create awakened relationships. Next week, we have a guest who's very special to me, Paramahansa Yogananda's disciple, Swami Kriyananda, who will be talking about his life and experiences as the disciple of a man who changed us here in the U.S. by bringing us Kriya Yoga and the early ideas that we can attain enlightenment. And on March 3rd, Marianne Camaroto shares how great relationships begin with in. So remember during our live broadcast that you can ask us questions over the chat or the phone. Now today we're talking with Tara Taylor, who is founder of whitelightwellness.com. That's at whitelightwellness.com. Well, it's whitelightwellness. That's hard to say.
And you're also a co-founder of A Sacred Space, which is at asacredspace.ca. And you also set up Just Say Yes events, inspirational meetings, to encourage people to say yes to the life that they want to live. So, Tara, you want to start by telling us a little bit about these offerings and what people could get from visiting you?
Absolutely. And just, it's funny, just when you go to the website, you'll see that it's terataylor.ca as well. We're just doing a lot of switching kind of putting things over at this point. Just this January 2011, I've just got signed with Hay House Publishing. And so you'll be seeing my book coming out in 2012, but the ego one will be delayed by a couple of years because we're first coming out with more of an intuition manual, kind of a surprise. We don't want to say too much about it, but keep your eyes peeled. There'll be a lot going on coming into the beginning of 2012. So having a session with me, first and foremost, depending on if we're doing some intuitive coaching or counseling or working with the ego, we really determine on where you feel stuck in your purpose, or even if you feel that you have no purpose at all. I work from the ground up and really looking at what makes a person tick, what their fixed beliefs were, and we find those solutions and working with if they have a low ego or a high ego. That's a whole other topic, but there's either one or the other. So that also dictates why you're here and what you're supposed to do. So my main goal and focus is getting people to become the master of their lives so they feel that they can cope and go through the steps of living the greatest life they possibly can, and giving and being in the moment no matter what, and feeling like they're getting given to themselves by understanding the self in itself. I know it's kind of a mouthful, the self in itself. So it's being more consciously aware and proactive about your own destiny in a certain way.
And people can take advantage of your services by phone or Skype?
Phone or Skype, or in person when I'm in Calgary, or depending where I am in the world too as well. I've got a couple areas that I work out of.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, before we get into my question, again on the chat, we have a question. Do you see the possibility of upgrading the ego functions so that they can operate in service to the needs of our soul and the thriving of our divinity?
Absolutely. What we do with that is using certain tools and upgrading the ego. And what I love the question, because in a way it's saying, you know, how can I be balanced with it, or be listening to it so that I can feel that my soul is, you know, coming and meeting and arising with that, if I'm getting that correctly. There's certain tools. Affirmations are key when doing this, because we learn how to slow down our ego. And one of the best ones that I've used, and I've used it for years, it's actually up on my website, is we take 3 deep breaths and we look in the mirror and we say it 7 times. Today I come from my higher self and not from my ego. Now the thing is, if I just say that once, my ego is going to kind of laugh at me. It's learned for years that it doesn't. We need to kind of practice it. So the 7 is more about getting your body to affirm and acknowledge that you want to make a change. And we do that straight for about a month, and we see a huge difference in how we feel. The other thing I find to keep our egos balanced and to keep our higher selves and ego at the same level is doing what I call asking yourself the 3 questions. And that basically boils down to saying, you know, so let's just say you asked me a question, and I have to make a decision. The questions I would run in my head was, am I about to take an action for my own benefit? And if I get the answer yes or no, I don't do it. I decide, no, I'm not going to do it. By what I'm going to do in my next action, is this going to benefit somebody else? And if I get a yes or a no, I don't do it again. Then I ask myself the 3rd question. If what I'm about to do in this action, is it going to benefit everybody around me? If the answer is yes, then I go ahead. If the answer is no, then again, I have to go back to the drawing board. And that it's always about, no matter what I do in my life, there has to be a sense of being equal with others, or feeling like if I'm going to do this, it's going to benefit myself or others. Because if it's only benefiting one, myself, or just the other person, it's going to be unbalanced no matter what. So it's more always looking at how can we be of service to myself and others at the same time, because that's where we feel centered. And I think that people don't ask themselves those questions. They say, you know, is this going to be for me? And when they say, I'm only going to benefit from this, then you feel like you're going to constantly be chasing or wanting more, that instant gratification. There's that concept of the material needs, right? And then we also have the other way of looking at it, as somebody says, well, what we call the givers, right? They're constantly helping, but they're not feeling anything in return, so then resentment builds up.
Right.
So we got to find that level of saying,
by doing this action or this service, am I coming to a place of being equal in that service?
And now you use the words, is it going to benefit everyone around me? But you're actually, as I understand from your explanation, talking about benefiting me and everyone around
me. Sorry, yes, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I want something, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I mean, the concept of giving, right? We can give, give, but if we feel that it's not being reciprocated, eventually, again, that resentment builds up. So there's that, when I talk about the low ego, high ego, there's two different levels, a lot of low egos. Now, low and high doesn't mean that the high is better and the low. It's just the way that we do things. A low ego, depending on what their purpose is, your ego is pretty much formed, or I've started to notice a pattern of different types of people with different types of egos, and they seem to fall under, I'm not a person that loves categories, but I would say if we need to put it in categories, because as humans we like to do that, I would say low ego, high ego, high ego. Low ego is a person who is constantly, if something's gone wrong, they self-inflict pain. They will say, oh, I'm so stupid, why did I do that? They'll always blame themselves. A high ego, if something goes wrong, they're the first person to say, well, it's that person's fault, and if they didn't do that, then I wouldn't be doing this. Now, that doesn't mean that one's better than the other. It's just how we process or deal with any sort of hurt. That's all. So we got to learn to work with what sort of ego type you do, and that's what I do in certain sessions, so that you may be balanced in your high ego or your low ego and with yourself and then interacting with others so that you're avoiding any conflict and misunderstandings.
Huh. That's very interesting.
I know, it's a mouthful, but it's one of those, you know, when we look at it from a place of how can we relate to others? Because it's always about our relationship with others that seem to be the bigger problems.
Uh-huh. Well, one of the thoughts that I had here is, I can tell you right now, I have low ego and my husband has high ego. And so one of the thoughts I had in terms of relationships is, to me, relationships are all about growth. So is it possible that I have connected with someone who has a different type, ego type, in order to enhance my growth?
Correct. I love it. You're right on. Exactly. Low egos and high egos tend to gravitate towards each other because we're both teaching each other something.
Uh-huh.
And low egos can get along. They're great, but it's funny. We'll keep bumping into each other and saying, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry. Right?
Right.
I find sometimes with high egos, when two high egos get in the room, they're a lot of fun, but they can only be in each other's presence for so long.
Uh-huh.
And it's very fascinating. But, yes, we do attract the opposite ego so that we may kind of, again, embrace what we're here to learn, because it's going to cause that friction. But at the same point, it's going to teach us something we need.
Well, I know from, I've been married to my husband now for 12 years and known him about 16, and I know that what happened in the early years of my marriage is that I came to the conclusion this man was the most self-centered individual I'd ever come across, and until I really stood and took a look at it and realized that he's a surgeon, he's a person who is very intelligent, he's literally been at the top of the heap most of his life, and he's used to getting things, people give things to him to facilitate him being able to live his life or do his work. That's
right.
Style. So
that's a gift.
It looked like he had this energy vortex that was him, and what happened is when I didn't have a strong enough energy vortex, I would get pulled into his, and I realized that my job really was to develop my own energy vortex, which is, in a way, developing my ego, is it not?
Yes. And at the same point, you were also teaching him a level of looking at, not to say he's not compassionate, don't get me wrong, but it's a low ego's way of compassion. Bedside manners, that sometimes how we say things hurt. Like, there's different levels where high egos are very direct. They say what they mean, but they don't ever intend to go out there and say, I'm going to hurt this person today. It's just how they process things. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how low egos process things. So the gift is both of you are showing each other how to be balanced in each other's and ego state, which is that's the perfect, when we talk about yin and yang, that's where life is, everything in its opposites, and that everything has a polar opposite.
Uh-huh.
And just like our higher self and our ego, it's a polar opposite.
And what has happened over time is, while we haven't given up our basic selves, I have more high ego behaviors, and he has more he shows more compassion and caring now.
That's right, because you he is not a low ego. You're not a high ego. It's because it's not part of your purpose. Your purpose is to have that sort of ego. But you're able to borrow certain traits to help balance you out. That's what's great about it. Because then there's that concept of, you know, that of feeling peaceful or in a sense of completion. Now, he didn't complete you. You love each other, but you both are complements of each other because you're already complete.
Yes.
So you complement each other's emotions, hence slash ego, so that you may go together in life to come here to do what you're meant to do. And this is where, you know, we can go into the concept of fate and free will and all that sort of stuff. But that's where you both were drawn to each other for a bigger purpose.
And we do see that because we're both helper people, you know.
That's right.
A doctor and me being a therapist, and we do support each other in our service.
Just like we would say a match made in heaven, right? But at the same time, it's like you love hard. At times you say, what am I doing? It's the same thing, yeah. You know, if you've ever heard love hard, fight hard. But once we understand that concept of fighting or that what we're trying to do is just be heard, it's just, again, it's that ego thing that's happening. We just have to come to that common ground and understand and learn the language. And that's why I really teach people on how to work with high egos, how to work with low egos, how to learn the language so that we don't have that sort of misunderstanding, is that we're all feeling it. We all have the same feelings. We just interpret it differently. That's all.
So now let's get back to the question I was looking at before the
sure.
break, which is you were talking about the ego, and it set me off thinking about, for example, jealousy, that that when we have an ego situation where we feel like somebody has more than we have or whatever. Now, my teaching, what I offer people is that jealousy is a signal that you're looking at somebody else as having something you can't have. The person who's keeping you from having it is you. And if you want to have it, the real signal of jealousy is to get creative, to create what you want.
Which now, is beautiful. Yes.
How does that tie in with your work?
So that would tie in the sense of, so same situation. So we've got you, me, and this other person, let's say, and that's great because that's exactly how I would say it. And then I would interpret it in a way, if we're going to talk about ego, is saying, yes, jealousy is the opposite of what you want. So it's giving you a message in that. And this is where I say ego is actually a good thing when you learn to love it, because it's giving you a message for you to do something with it. So it's not saying that stay with the jealousy and that it's that person's problem. What it's saying is, okay, I'm jealous. It's arising an emotion in me. I'm going to kind of talk like you. It's arising an emotion. So I have to look at that emotion and say, instead of looking at it as a negative experience or looking at what they have and I don't, look at it as a way, as a role model, saying, if they can do it, I can do it. It means I want to have this, so I'm going to pay attention or learn from this person, or, you know, it's turn things around so I know that I can achieve these things. It's always like, in a way, saying it is always just the opposite of what it really is. It's like when we say never assume what you think somebody else is thinking, because in 99.9% of the time, it's not what you're thinking. Because we interpret the world differently. So that person, of course, is not trying to do this to make you jealous. It's not about that. But your ego makes you think it is. Because that person isn't thinking about you. They're thinking about what's going on in them, right?
Well,
so this is kind of where we take that in lengths, where we go, why is this happening? Why am I feeling this? It's because there's something within inside that is telling you that you don't feel deserving or feel that you can't have this. So it switches your ego into an anger state or jealousy state or whatever. So it's always about what's going on inside, which is a fixed belief you've learned, which we need to crack and move on and realize and work with that so that it doesn't repeat itself.
Right.
They're just repetitive patterns because you've learned it. You've learned it somewhere, be it from your parents or be it from society, whatever.
Right. Years ago, there was a particular therapist that I knew who was very good at giving workshops, and she would periodically send me a flyer on her new workshops. And inevitably, when I got it, my heart would sink into my belly button, and I would feel jealous, and I would kind of get
uptight about the whole thing until finally I realized, you know, this wouldn't bother me if I didn't have the same capability. You know, what bothers me is that she's doing something that I could do that I'm not doing.
Exactly. And instead of pushing her away, open your arms and say, I love what you're doing. I would love to learn from you. I mean, these people want to help, right? And you will always be surprised by somebody's reaction. People naturally, from every core, no matter if they come across gruff or not, if you ask for help, majority of the time they'll step up. They may not step up right away, but eventually they'll come around because they feel good about helping or they feel good about teaching what they've learned, whatever that may be. It'd be like, we'll use your husband as an example. You know, if I said to him, I want to learn what you do, he's going to be like, you betcha, because he's going to get excited about teaching it. Now, if I get jealous about what he does and be blah, 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 he's going to dislike me because he's going to feel threatened by what I'm saying and feel, well, why would I want to teach you anything if you're bad-mouthing me or you're feeling insecure around me? Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah, it's all about learning that sense of that. When I was talking about equal, is that our egos make us think that we're not equals, but in reality, we all are. The difference is we all have gifts, and all those gifts come together, and they complement each other beautifully. One is not better than the other. We just have gifts that can be shared. That's all. It's like, I'm not a good artist. I'm okay with that. But I would go to my artist friend to say, I would love you to show me this. That piece of art may be better than what I can do, but I can see and love that beauty in within her, and then she'll see her the beauty and love within me, and we can share those gifts together and teach what we can so that it amplifies our experience in life here.
Uh-huh. Now, I want to just add one thing. Years ago, I battled shyness, and then I learned that being shy is an extreme form of self-absorption.
That's right.
That I had thought it was a positive personality characteristic, but when you look at it from that angle, it certainly isn't. What it turned out was that I was constantly concerned about what others might be thinking of me, and when I looked at it squarely, the reality was that very few people were thinking about me at all.
That's right.
And it helped me get past my shyness. I just wanted to throw that in as an illustration for what you've been saying.
I love it. That's a perfect example. Exactly. We're always thinking others, and that's where our ego comes to the play. That's that other, there's two voices going on, right? That's that other voice saying, what are they going to think of judgment? But in reality, it's that other side of you. It's you judging you. No one's judging you. It's you judging you. But if you give them a reason to judge you, yeah, they may judge you. God bless high egos, but they do that. But usually it's because you're saying, oh, I'm not good at that. And they're like, well, maybe you aren't then. You know, that's kind of what they do. You're giving them a reason to judge you, right?
That's very good. All right, we have another break coming here. We're talking today with intuitive counselor, author, life coach, and motivational speaker Tara Taylor. She's been inspiring and educating individuals, experts, professionals, and members of organizations for over 10 years. Now do check her out at Tara Taylor, TaraTaylor.ca. Okay, don't forget to call us, too, at 800-630-7858 if you'd like to talk to Tara personally. Come on back to Full Power Living following this break.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store. www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
All right. Welcome back to Full Power Living with White Light Wellness founder Tara Taylor. And Tara, you've been able to help a lot of famous and ordinary people. And I just wanted to ask you, without using names, if you would tell us one of the most significant changes you've been part of concerning someone and his or her ego.
You bet. I also help people going through the dying process as
Nice.
So I've been able to help heal. One of my latest ones has just passed away. She was a 22-year-old, passed that, but had her, all of her organs shut down. So getting her to feel confident and safe to move forward and go through the dying process in peace. Also having peace with her family as well. That was pretty exciting and happy and such a nice transition of celebrating life, just like we do as a birth. Also, one of the ones that I absolutely love and someone who's become very close to my heart is I got someone to get on a plane, work through their fears, and be able to keep their doors unlocked. So working with people that have phobias as well and understanding to kind of rewind and relearn and get rid of those fixed beliefs that have been put upon them that causes certain fears. Those would be one of the largest. Now, that's just emotional stuff. And then other people that I've done sessions with that may have been famous that have helped them in their careers financially, because I deal with concepts of everything, of weight, finances, because there's such it involves every area. So getting confident to put books out, writers, I help them to get more confident with their writing, things like that. It's interesting because it comes very broad, and I always laugh and I say, you know, every day is a new day because whatever comes to me, I deal with it as it comes. Everybody is different, and everybody's soul's purpose is different. So that's going to dictate what I need to do with them in whatever certain soul level or ego state I have to deal with them. And I make a practical plan, which is easy. And I think this is where a lot of people, even myself, and one of the reasons why I've become such an advocate about ego, because myself, I struggled with it. And I remember just saying to myself, it shouldn't be this hard. So when I realized, you know, here I am fighting my own ego, I'm in my teens at this time saying, you know, I can't feel like I can't function, I can't breathe, I just dropped to my knees and I said, what can I possibly do? You know, I'm ridding myself of this ego that's supposed to be so bad, but it's only getting stronger. And then the light bulb just went off and said, wait a minute, that's the problem. I'm trying to get rid of something that's a part of me that's meant to help me. So once I started getting into that, it took me about 10 years to figure it all out and write books and study, and really use case studies with my own clients and going through the experiences. This is kind of how it came to birth, and realizing that sometimes I feel that the ego did get a bad rap, but we need to look at it in a different way, because the more attention we give it, the more it grows, rather than looking at it as leveling it, creating it to be a balance.
So what would be an ideal relationship with our ego?
Ideal relationship is being able to listen to its talk, but not choosing its behavior or choosing its wants.
Can you give us an example of that? I'm not sure I totally
get
that.
So, perfect example. It's kind of like we talk about fear becomes your greatest accomplishment. So my ego, as a low ego, because I'm a low ego myself, my friend, low ego would say, when I was a teenager, I was told never to, I would never be good at public speaking, or I would never be a good writer, actually. I had both of those, it makes me laugh to this day, right? That I'm not a good writer, my grammar isn't very good, and that I shouldn't get into that profession, and that I shouldn't get up and speak in front of people because I'm not a good speaker. So, of course, I think, oh my goodness, I'm horrible at that. So what I did was, instead of taking that as truth or a fixed belief, I looked at it as a way, as a gift of somebody saying to me, no, this is what I need to focus on. Because when universe or opportunities come to tell me something I cannot do, I look at the reasons why I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense of, you know, defying the odds, it's more of the reason why it's coming up in your life is that there's no such thing as a coincidence, I always say, in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up to teach you something. Pay attention. It means that you need to work on that, or we need to grow on that, or it's part of what I'm here to do. The opposite will come up to show you what you can do. your negative, and I know it's a little hokey because it's been so people talk about this, but your negative is actually going to be your positive. So that's an example there. And then we come with earthly issues, right? So if, you know, if I really want to have, let's say, a certain house or a car or whatever. Now, this is, I'm just talking more material ego stuff. You, of course, you all, everybody deserves that. But the first key in recognizing is that it's not your identity. Be willing to have it all, but be willing to give it all up at the same point. Is that don't put your identity into something. Because the minute we do that, we lose ourselves in it, and then we get lost in who we really are. Everybody, every single person on this earth deserves anything in life, and anything and everything. The key is not putting the identity, is that that doesn't define me. My house doesn't define me. My car doesn't define me. Even my name doesn't define me. What I am at the end of the day is what my soul is telling me I am, which is love, guidance, teaching, helping, being of service, service to others, service to me. It's all about coming in with a gift, because everybody has, let's say, if we're going to use the word gift or special, everybody has something that is unique, and it's meant to be shared and be compatible with others so that they share theirs and is compatible with others.
You know, that's interesting. I recently was speaking with someone who essentially, I think, is channeling a book, or writing a book, a very special book, spiritually oriented. And the question that this individual brought up to me was, I don't know whether I should ever publish it. I don't know if anybody would be interested in it. And my response was, of course people will be interested in it. You wouldn't be drawn to create this book if there aren't people who would be drawn to read it. Of course. This is part of your service in the world. Get it published.
Beautiful. Yeah. That was the exact moment. That's where she knew. That's her low ego right there, right? Or this person's low ego, right in that moment. And that's when you know, when I say when your body gets fearful or your ego starts to do ego chatter like that, I always, and I rub my hands together and I laugh and I say, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be good, because it's all, I always say to people, it's always the opposite. Everything in life is a polar opposite. Things are never what they seem.
I have to give more thought to that, because I don't normally think in those terms. What I do is tell people, and you're saying this, but you haven't come out directly and say it, said it, which is that this earth is a big, giant school, and we all come here in order to learn, so that everything that comes to us is offering us an opportunity to learn.
That's right. I am saying it. We're all here for a purpose. That it's a universal purpose. And the universe, the earth that we live in when we're in our human bodies, is meant to be a large school. And that our teachers is everyone around us, including ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. And if you just embrace it. Well, in a sense, now as I've been listening to you about the ego, in a sense, one of the ways my ego has taken a different position on the bus has been that I'm constantly seeing, you know, by looking at things as a giant school, it takes it out of ego sort of automatically. Oh, this is a lesson. This isn't about me, per se.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're on the right path, my friend.
Oh, good. I've been looking at this a while.
And that's the thing I find, and that's why 10 years for me to really digest it and shoot a lot out, and then another 2 years for that book to come out. We're starting with something else through AOS. But it's interesting, because I do, when I work with people with getting them to work with their intuition / their higher self, we start with ego as number one, that our ego has to be balanced first for us to completely hear clearly intuition. And that's why I'm such an advocate to speak about ego, because I think ego has always been pushed in the corner, where if anything, it's the number one thing we have to deal with to be able to move forward in life, in anything we do in life. And I found that, and God bless, you know, Sigmund Freud and all that, but it's very hard to digest for people. So what I've been trying to do, or my goals, are to put ego in a way that we can all understand it, and in terminology that is simple and clear, and go, oh, okay, I get that, for everybody. Because I used to say to myself, I don't get it. I don't get it. What are they using? I used to laugh and say, what are with the big words, right? But in a way so that everyone can grasp what is going on.
Uh-huh.
It's like the old saying, my father would say, you're trying to do it in layman's terms.
Uh-huh. So I have a fun question for you that I recently had the opportunity to learn something about Lady Gaga, an entertainer I have sort of eschewed, not knowing a thing about her. I dismissed her. And yet when I began to find out more about her, she impressed me as being pretty solid, that she's focused on her idea of what it takes to entertain people successfully, and she didn't seem to be tremendously lost in herself, which surprised me. And mm-hmm. I wondered if you've looked at public figures and found any that have what you might consider a good or masterful relationship with their ego.
Absolutely. Lady Gaga would be one, and I love that you brought her up, because it's funny, I have a deck of cards that down the road I'm going to put out, and I have one actually dedicated to her. I like her music. I mean, it's not like I go out, I'm not in the sense of, am I a fan of her music? Yes, but I don't go out by CDs, those sort of things, right? I'm kind of very thrown into my work, but I had come across an interview with her, and I thought, what a good role model for coming up these days. I'm in my 30s. But for her coming in the new generation, she was on a radio interview, and she said, I don't drink or smoke anymore or do things that hurt my body. And the radio said, well, that's good for you. She goes, because I was told that if I stopped hurting myself or doing these things to myself, that I would be successful. And that they were right. I was successful when I stopped doing these things to myself. And the radio host said, well, who did that? Or who told you that? She said, my spirit guides. And they started laughing.
Uh-huh.
And she was dead serious. And then she says, no, seriously, I was channeled and was told that if I did these things and I took care of myself, that I would attain great success. And they were right. So in my life, I focus on, she's quite spiritual. She's quite a spiritual person.
I had no idea. I'm telling you, I really ignored the woman going, oh, my God,
yeah.
Who needs that?
Yeah. She's almost what I would call a little warrior in fancy clothes. And she's really great because she does it in a disguise, and that's kind of how she is. But she is a very smart, spiritually centered person trying to make a difference, and she is. And that's the thing, is like she gets by the radar. And that's what I think her whole intention is as well. Even though what she wears and stuff is shocking, she wants it to be the front. But in reality, she wants you to pay attention to other things. It's like, look at this. I don't want to put too much attention, but in my music and what I do is what's really speaking loud.
So that's the whole thing that you said before. Listen to its talk, but don't choose its behavior.
That's right. Exactly. It just wants to be heard.
They're very clever. Okay, well, I think you and I could probably talk for many hours here, but our time has gone, and I want to remind our listeners that your book is Manifest Success, The Ultimate Guide to Creating the Life of Your Dreams, and they can see you on websites whitelightwellness.com, tarataylor.ca, and asacredspace.ca. I hope I got that right.
Perfect.
And you're available to work with people everywhere as an intuitive counselor, so especially if they go to one of those sites, they could connect with you. And, Tara, I want to thank you for all the work that you have been doing, all those 10 years of hard work, and also the work that you do to help people identify their purpose and get over the obstacles and balance and master their ego so that they can have good lives, which, of course, enhances all of our lives. So, thank you for that.
Thank you.
And thank you.
And thank you. And I would like to thank you for the same, because I would say that likes attract likes.
You found me.
Yeah.
So thanks for being on Full Power Living today.
Thank you for having me. I really
again.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Congratulations on your Hay House selection also.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next week, February 24th, we're hosting Swami Kriyananda, disciple of Paramhansa Yogananda. We'll be learning about his life, learning, and experiences with Yogananda. And I've been reading his book, which is a big book, and I know it's going to be a very fascinating, revelatory discussion. The Swami is now in his 80s, and he has had a long and very powerful life. So please join us live on Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, for another powerful experience on Full Power Living. Thanks to all of you who've been talking on the chat, to all our listeners who will listen live and will be hearing us on the archives. And we want to thank Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, our producer, for his longtime support and tender care of us here at Full Power Living. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.